It is good that we can come together. It is good that we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth and be encouraged today. I don't know about you, but I want to be encouraged, and I want to encourage you today. You will never hear me ever not encourage you. I will always encourage you. You will always hear a word of encouragement that will encourage you. And my prayer for those that are watching today live, my prayer is that there's something there that I can say to you to help you along the way, to strengthen you along the way as we get into God's Word today. So if you have your Bibles today, it's going to be on the screen. There's a Bible in the pew. If you have your Bible with you, or if you have a Bible app, which is an Android or an iPhone, I have a Bible app on my phone, and a lot of times I'll pull my Bible app out on my phone, and I can look up just about anything. And so we can pull those out today, and we can get into God's Word today. I am ending out on my series on the power of Christ and controlled thinking. On the power of Christ, controlled thinking. And I will end out this series today. If you have missed this series, I encourage you to go to our website, to www.vfclexington.org. Go on our website, go into the media area, click on the media area. You can see all of that series on the power of Christ-controlled thinking, and you'll see other series as well. That is beneficial to you and to those and your friends to be encouraged. We do Spotify, podcast. I mean, you can hear me preach while you're jogging or while you're exercising. Any way that I can get the word to you, you will be able to receive it and you will be encouraged. And so I don't know about you, but I need all the encouragement I can get. And so I want to give that encouragement to you. So here we are, we're in part five. Yes, it has. This is the fifth week. Next Sunday is, guess what? Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. I want everybody to be back next Sunday because we're going to be ministering communion. And that is a special time that we do this around Easter time. And so there will be a communion service here as well. Palm Sunday will be here next Sunday. Then the following Sunday will be Easter Sunday. It is already here, folks. So we're getting very close into Easter. So, but I want to end out today on the power of Christ-controlled thinking. Part 5, go with me to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. And so we want to look at this as time will permit, the power of Christ-controlled thinking. Finally, brethren, the Apostle Paul writes, he writes to the church at Philippi, he's speaking to a church just as God is speaking us today in this church. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now you may say, well, Pastor, you have been in this passage for the last few weeks. That is correct, because I want you to really look at this passage very closely. When we talk about the power of Christ-controlled thinking, these are the things that we need to have the power of Christ-controlled thinking. We've got to think on things that are true, not things that are false, but things that are true. And things that are noble, things that are just, not unjust, but just. Whatever things that are pure, not unpure, but pure. Whatever things are lovely, not lovely, but lovely. And whatever things that are of good report, not bad report. So I want you to know these are positive words that need to resonate in our hearts and lives on a daily basis so that we can begin to develop a Christ-controlled thinking. I'm not saying that you're going to be Christ. We're not Christ. We are to be like Christ. Christ is the example. He left an example for us over 2,000 years ago when He bled and died on Calvary's cross. As you and I will begin to see this as time goes on for Easter Sunday, that Christ died on the cross. He was in the grave, and that He arose on the third day, that He's seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, He has laid the foundation. He has been that foundation. He's laid it for us, and now we are to follow behind it, because it is, the Scripture says, finally, it got to the point, as the Apostle Paul says, now we're at where we need to be when he says that word, finally, brethren. He's not talking to the sinners, but he's talking to the saints. He's talking about people that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, finally, we're at that point that now we have got to constantly think on good things, positive things, as we move forward in our Christian walk and the character of Christ. Victory or defeat hinges on who controls our thinking. I want you to think about this. Victory or defeat hinges on who controls our thinking. Who's controlling your thinking? Is other people controlling your thinking? Are they telling you what to do, what to say, where to go? Is the enemy as Satan? Is he speaking to you? Is he leading you down a wrong path? You know whether you're going down the right path or the wrong path. What voices are you hearing? So we need to understand that we must think on those that are truth and those that are praiseworthy, and it says of good report. And not only do we think upon them, but we meditate on them. We meditate. Meditate is thinking over and over, allowing your mind to think on good things of what the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for you. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself, guess what? Against the knowledge of God. This is not being truthful. This is being, as we see, this is not being truthful. It's being untruthful. Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Understand, all of everything that we deal with every day, dealing with our mind, dealing with our heart, everything is to come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one in charge. He's Daddy. He's Abba Father. God sees exactly what you and I are going through. God even knows your strongholds. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your temptations. He knows everything about you inside and out. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your friends, but you can't hide nothing from God, because God is like an open book. He sees you inside and out. And if God sees you inside and out, why not surrender to His Lordship, and why not say, Lord, take charge of my mind, take charge of my heart, and help me to move forward to be the servant or the disciple that I need to be as You do a work within me. He who begins a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the very end. When God starts something in your life, He just doesn't stop. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to stop blessing you. I'm going to stop blessing her. No, He doesn't. He doesn't hold back any. He gives us unconditionally and gives us what we need, not so much of what we want. And don't get me wrong, He'll give you the hearts, your desires of your heart. But if we're always wanting what we want, we'll never know what God has in store for us in our needs. Because He knows exactly what we need day in and day out. A stronghold is an area of sin that has become part of our lifestyle. Now I want you to think about this. A stronghold is an area of sin that has become part of our lifestyle. You know, the enemy knows exactly how to sort of speak, dangle the carrot in front of us. And for us to try to reach something that we may not can reach, but He just puts it out there. And He will throw all kinds of strongholds on us for us to be enticed at what He's trying to do. Because listen, I've said it and I'll say it again. He doesn't want you to open up your Bible. He doesn't want you to pray with your family. He doesn't want you to have devotion. He doesn't want you to communicate with Him, because He knows that you will have a direct link to what God has in store for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for you and for me. So we can't even begin to grasp it. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding. We can't even begin to scratch what in our heads, in our little mind that we've got, of all the wisdom and all of what God is. Because God is so much, but yet He wants to give us the very best. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, the sword of the Spirit is our weapon to fight back. What is the sword of the Spirit? That is the Word of God. That is the sword of the Spirit. That's what we have to fight against the enemy. When Jesus was caught away in as He was fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, He went up into the mountains. He began to pray. Listen, the enemy, Satan, wanted to hit Him with all kinds of things, because he knew in his body he was going to need food. He was going to need water, because he was human just like you and I. And yet he was trying to hit Him at his lowest moment, because when you get hungry, when you get thirsty, when you need water, you're ready to do whatever you have to do to get to some food or get to some water. So you can imagine for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the enemy just hits Him and begins to tell Him, well, if you are the God you are, you know, turn these rocks into food, you know, why don't you do that? Or if you'll just bow down to me, you know, I know you're having it bad right now, buddy, but if you'll just bow down to me, you know, I'll just give you everything, you know. And Jesus began to hit Satan with the Word of God. He began to quote to him in Deuteronomy 8:3, I'll not live by bread alone, but I will live by every word that comes out of my Father's mouth. See, Jesus began to hit him with the Word of God. So that's what we have to do. We have to hit the enemy, Satan, with the Word of God. If Jesus had to do it, don't think for a moment that we've got to do it, because we do. That's how the enemy flees from us. And that's how we keep strongholds away from us, is to stay in the Word of God. Repeating an incident of behavior enough time produces a habit. Now I want you to think about this. Repeating an incident of behavior enough time produces a habit. So if you continue to do what you're doing, whether you're reading the Bible, whether you're not reading the Bible, but if you continue to do what you do, then it will produce a habit. And sometimes habits are hard to beat. But here's how you beat the habit. You have to be in Christ Jesus. You never can do it alone. You always need help. You always need help, and Jesus is there to break the habit that you and I may have or may even produce, we can do it, but we must repeat every time and come to Jesus every time. Because I've always said, you've got to practice it. It just don't naturally happen. You just don't normally just open up your Bible. You just don't normally start praying. You have to set a time. You have to make time. You must create that habit, which is a good habit, to be in prayer, to be in where you're reading the Word of God, so that you can fight against the strongholds in your life. J. Dwight Pentecost writes this. Great book. He writes great books. Great scholar. He says, the greatest area of sin in the believer's life is not the area of action, but the area of thought. I want you to think about this. Dwight Pentecost writes this, and he says, the greatest area of sin in the believer's life is not in the area of actions, but in the area of your thoughts. You see, God knows what we're about to think. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. You know, He knows exactly what you and I are going through. He knows exactly what we're about to do. Why? Because He created us. He's created us in His image. He loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we would have life and have it more abundantly. He loves us so much. So don't ever think that there's a God in the heavens with a billy bat just ready to knock you out because you've done something wrong. No, He loves you. And He tells us through His Word that He loves us. And He shows us in His Word that He loves us. And He's wanting us to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want us to have the stronghold. He wants that to be relinquished. He's wanting us to trust Him, to know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. So Jesus is the one and only that we need to help us in our lives so that we can have the power of Christ-controlled thinking. When Christ the Victor controls our thinking, victory is sure. When Christ the Victor controls our thinking, victory is sure. Now let's review the ingredients of power. The power of truth, the power of honesty, the power of just makes us powerful witnesses. The power of purity, the power of things lovely, the power and that of a good report gives us a powerful testimony, because now we know that we don't have to stay in sin. God saves us from sin, not in sin. And therefore, when we have the good report and we've meditated on Christ and we begin to meditate even on a daily basis, God gives us the power and the strength because He sees that it's not into your own power, it's not your own intellect, it's not your own knowledge and ability, but it's what Jesus Christ is doing in your heart and life to transform you and to renew. Because guess what? The Apostle Paul says we must renew our minds daily. That we are living sacrifices. That we are to be sacrificed before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we have our minds transformed and renewed daily by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of virtue and praise changes us. My first point today is this, and I must move on here. Victory and virtue changes us. Victory and virtue changes us. Write that down because you're going to need this. I promise you, this will be something that will strengthen you. This will be beneficial to you. Victory and virtue changes us. If there be any virtue, as the Apostle Paul says, we're to look for virtue in others. Those who look for faults become fault finders. We are not to look at people as fault finders, that we are to find fault. You know, it's easy for us to find fault, and it seems like we go quicker to find something in somebody that you're dealing with or whatever you're coming across with. It's easier for us to find something as a fault finder than to find something that's good in somebody. But I want you to know that for us to have Christ-controlled thinking, we must see good in those that we see. But you don't know, Pastor, what they've done. They've put a dagger in my back, and they've done this, and they've done that. We're still to give them to God, because God will take care of our enemies. But yet we are still to find good, because listen, it is God that sees them, but how they are reacting and what they're doing is the enemy is causing them to do what they do because they're in sin. They're doing whatever the devil wants them to do. So when they act out and do these things, understand it's what the enemy is trying to do and is doing in them, but we are to pray for them and we are to look to them and give them to God. And when you're getting mad and you're about to ball your fist up to them, you need to say, I'm going to give you to Jesus. I'm going to be praying to Jesus for you. We must counterattack against the enemy, because the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. And he will do everything he can to get you off your game in your walk with God, and he will allow devices and things to come your way to cause you to be discouraged. But listen, I want you to be encouraged, because we have the victor, Jesus Christ, which gives us the victory to move forward in him. Listen, H.A. Ironside writes this: it's important that we should never permit our minds to feel like a vulture or on the wicked thoughts or filthy or unholy things of the flesh. It's important that we should never permit our minds to go down areas that we shouldn't go. We shouldn't even entice it. We shouldn't even go in those directions. Why? Because it's nothing but brings us spiritual death. It brings us spiritual death. So therefore, we must understand that we must think on good things. If you're going down the wrong road, is that pure? Is that lovely? Is that holy? Or is that unholy? Is that wicked? Is that bad for you? It's almost like I gave an example. It might have been last Sunday. If I'm sitting in front of a movie and I'm watching a movie and all I hear is the F-bomb, and all through the movie is just F, 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 and that's the natural language, folks, if you don't know, in the 21st century. That's the F-bomb is a natural word that everybody just wants to use. Now, if I sit there, for an example, and I listen, I may not cuss, and I'm not a cusser, but if I'm listening to the F-bomb, that F-bomb is going in my mind. And I've got to do something about it. I'm either going to sit there through the whole movie and listen to the F-bomb, or I'm going to say, hey, I'm changing the channel. This is not good for me. I have to make a decision right then. I don't listen to it all the way through at the end of the movie and make the decision and say, well, I'm not going to listen to that F-bomb movie again. No, it's done too late, because I've sat there and I've listened to the F-bomb of the word all through that movie. We have to make decisions before it actually happens. You can't wait till after and say, I'll never do that again, or I won't do that again, because it's the same old, same old. It will happen over and over and over again, and if not careful, it will wind up developing a habit. And when it develops a habit, then your character comes out, and whether the character of Christ or whether the character of sin comes in your life, therefore you must make the decision before that it even happens. My second point today is this: the power and praise changes us. Power and praise changes us. Churches that build on faults must expect an earthquake. Let's stop focusing on what the devil is doing, and let's fix our eyes on what God is doing and giving us. There are times that we will give the devil more credit than we will God. I've heard people come to me sometimes and say, "Pastor, you don't understand. The devil's on my back. The devil's done this. The devil's done that. The devil's doing this." And we'll give the devil more acknowledgement and we'll give him more praise about what he's doing with our life than we're giving praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to say, "Listen, in the name of Jesus, I will," not "I'm thinking about it" or "I might." No, "I will overcome in Christ Jesus because Jesus has given me the victory because he's went through death, hell, and the grave. And now he arose. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, I have the victory and I can have victory through the habits that I may have. I can have victory through all the strongholds that I may have, and that I can overcome in Christ Jesus because Jesus Christ has overcome sin and death." Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that power and praise changes us. If there be any praise, we're to call to join the praise patrol. We are to praise the Lord Jesus in the good times and bad. You've heard me say, if you've got cancer, if you've got something going on, that should not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for you to shake your fist at God and say, "Why do I have cancer? Why are you doing this to me?" We are to give God praise no matter what, because it does not change our relationship, nor should it change your relationship should anything happen in your life to try to blame that it's all about God causing the bad that's in your life. You are to give God praise. Listen, we need to understand we've got to stop pouting and start praising. The power will follow. Let me say it again. Stop pouting and start praising. And let the power of the will follow. God will take care of you. Giving Him praise through the good and through the bad. Listen, each Christian should be a walk of doxology. We must be walking in a way that we're praising God every breath that comes out of our body. The praising person looks beyond the present problem. Let me say it again. The praising person looks beyond the present problem. God is in control and deserves our constant praise. Romans 8 and 28 says, as the Apostle Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who that are called according to His purpose." Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but all things work together. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands in and throw the towel in and not want to serve God or worship God. Listen, all things work together. A lot of times we may want to give up. We may say, "Oh, well, what's the use? Oh, this, oh, that." Listen, all things work together. Sometimes I don't know, you don't know how they're going to work together. But God's Word says all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and is called according to His purpose. Third, power and praise changes us. I'm sorry, second, power and praise changes us. Philippians also, as Paul has a problem, as we see here in Philippians 4 and 2. He says this. He says, "I implore Eudaeus and I implore Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord." They were Christian women at Philippi. "And they, both of whom may have been deaconets as at Philippi, had an argument." And they were, sometimes we have arguments in church? Yes, sometimes we do have that. But listen, they had an argument here at Philippi. So he's talking to them. The Apostle Paul charges them to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, don't operate in the flesh. We must operate in the Spirit. And that in the Spirit you have liberty And the Apostle Paul says that when these things come up, we need to be in the same mind in the Lord. Galatians 6 and 1 says this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself lest you also be tempted." They had difficulties getting along, causing strife with one another. They needed to look for the virtue of each other and praise God for what they found, because they were at each other's throat, and there they were at the church. There were deaconettes going at each other. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, you've got to find love. You've got to find grace. You've got to find some mercy. And you've got to think on good things. They were thinking on bad things. They were thinking in the flesh. They were thinking about what they wanted, how they wanted, when they wanted it, where they wanted it. It was all about them. It was about them personally. Listen, it's never about me. It's never about you. But it's about the body of Christ. It's about us coming together, unifying ourselves in the bond of love, that we come in oneness and that we work together in oneness. Listen, think what this change of attitude would do even for our church. Third, in my closing, Christ is the conqueror. Christ is the conqueror. Where can we find truth and honesty personified? Where can we find it? We can find it in Christ and Him alone. You know, I'm reminded in Matthew 18 and 15, Jesus said this, red letter edition. We need to understand this. Moreover, your brother sin against you. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take what you won or two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly I say to you, Jesus said this, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. If we're going to have Christ control thinking, these are the areas that we must work together as Christians and as believers. You know, when you have a family, sometimes there's a little misunderstanding. Sometimes there's going to be a little bit of a fuss. There's going to be a little bit of disagreements. That's part of life. That's what family is. Family is going that's going to happen. But you know what we're to do? We're still to come together, and we're to come together in prayer, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus coupled everything in prayer. He went before His Heavenly Father. He prayed. And when there's anything that we see that is against one another, we are to come together in the bond of love. We are to work those things out, because we don't want the enemy to make a heyday in our life. We don't want the enemy to get the glory of this. We want Jesus to have the glory in everything that we do. And there will be disagreements along the way, but it's nothing that Jesus can't correct. It's nothing that Jesus can't do. He can. He can help us in our dilemma, in our situation. and that we can come together with an agreement. I remember growing up as a little boy, and there would be a little fight in recess, and it was almost like the teacher back then was saying, why don't you just kiss and make up, or hug and make up and move on, you know. And that was the way that we did it, you know. And that's the way that we must have a heart to know that it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ is doing in our hearts and lives to unify us in the bond of love. Listen, love will hide a multitude of sin. That's what God's Word says. Love. Listen, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And I want you to know today, Jesus is love. And He has to love you. And He will love you. And He's got to do it because He is love. Stand with me across the building today. Who is just and who is pure? Christ, our Savior, He's just and pure. Who is the altogether lovely one? Christ is the one that we are to look at. Who is of good of all the time and gives us good report? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Who is victorious and virtuous and worthy of praise? Christ, our Savior. Christ-controlled thinking brings personal peace to your life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want peace in my life. And if you will be honest with yourself, you want peace in your life. Listen, the question today would be this: does Christ control your life and your thoughts? Does Christ control your life and your thoughts? Listen, surrender all to Jesus and experience His power every day. Surrender all to Jesus. Who controls your thoughts? Does Christ control your thoughts? Is He controlling your life? Or are you controlling your life? Are you controlling your thoughts? Or is Jesus controlling your thoughts? That's why for us to have Christ-controlled thinking, we have to think on good things. Good things. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray.